हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। I would like to take the opportunity to thank all of you for kindly coming here for today's program. It's a very important something matter of the Bhagavad Gita, and is very much needed for the present moment for the world. But at the present moment, we are seeing so many different kinds of tests and tribulations among the people of the world. Even though people may be very highly educated in many something matter, but somehow or other, we are seeing day by day there are more problems than the solution. Somehow or other, people are not able to understand what is the lacking points behind all the so-called advancement of this material world. Here, the Bhagavad Gita bringing a wonderful solution. Bhagavad Gita is a manual book for mankind. Just like when we buy a car, we get a manual book how to use the car. We buy a washing machine, we get the manual book how to use a washing machine. Similarly, after the Lord has taken the human being, has given these Vedas. Veda means knowledge. In more coming time, in the next chapter, I will go more deeper into the details information of the Vedas. But the Vedas is the manual book for mankind. How they use this manual book in a very beautiful way, and you can organize your life in a very beautiful way that is blaming all the good things in your life but never do any harm for the other living entities. And especially we are reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. It has been translated by His Divine Great Prabhupada, has been the 108th emperor around the world, and 14 times he has traveled around the globe. And he has led this beautiful teaching and practice of Krishna consciousness. And very important, the 13, 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Once you have mastered the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita in your life, you see the transformation, a better transformation of yourself, a better transformation around the surrounding and your association. Definitely it will come into your life. If you can tolerate a bit from the other kinds of difficulties you are taking to come in to attend this program. Especially human being in this world is meant to follow the path of religion, path of dharma. As a code of conduct in every religion really. Without that code of conduct, whatever education, whatever other side of advancement get put in our civilization is not going to help anybody any much unless your order of conduct is very proper. It's according to the principle of human rights. The human life is extinguished between the animal life only by one being, that is the dharma. Aha vidra bhai maitunancha samanya meke pasibhi narana dharma esuna vittuli seise dharma nigina pasibhi samana. The Veda says that the human beings right than the animals right, there is no much of difference. The human being are eating, the animals are eating, that human being are sleeping, the animals are sleeping, the human beings are producing children, the animals also producing their own children. The human beings don't like to die, the animals also don't like to die. So there is no much of difference between animal and human being. But the code of conduct, the law of dharma only can be followed by human being. Like today you have come, we did not invite the dolphin Jack's guest to come and learn Bhagavad Gita. Because it is meant for the human being. They don't let a kind of intelligence to understand all these important things in their life. So human beings are meant to live as a human being. And first of all, you have to understand what is human being means. What is the principles to be followed in the human life? Human life has but a 30 principle to follow. This has been mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavad Purana. According to the Veda, the author of the Vedas is the Vedabhyas Vyasade. And his final work is the Srimad Bhagavad for the ultimate benefit of the Yellow Society of the World. So they ultimate the final book in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Those have got the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can listen from there. In the 7th canto, chapter 11, text 12 through text 18 to text 8 to plus. 7th canto, 11th chapter, text 8 to 12. There are 5 important slogans and been said by Narada Muni. A great devotee of Krishna has told Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj wants to know what is the ultimate principle of the human life. Who is considered to be a complete human being in the world? And Mama, if you are lacking of this principle in our life, you are not considered as a complete human being. So he said, Satyam Daya Tabang Sauchan Titik Secha Samodama Ainsa Brahmacharyancha Swajaya Dhyavam Aljavam. There are 5 slokas I bet. So he says that the important human being's 3 principle of life is that, one, they must be very truthful in their lives. And if anybody lacking of their truthful, you are lacking 1% of your human life, now human consideration. So number one is that human being means they must be very truthful. And number two is that human being means they must be very merciful. You list and lack others with this. And number three, human beings, they must be able to perform some austerity rituals. They may be liking some smoking, they may be like, you know, drinking alcohol, but you know, there has to be some self-control, austerity, that they give up this thing because it goes against the principle of dharma. So the austerity they must follow. And number four, they must keep themselves very clean inside and outside. They should not keep something inside and I speak another thing outside. Both also must be, you know, according to the path of dharma. Keep inside clean, of your heart keep outside the body clean also by taking shower. So number four, that human being's principle is cleanliness. And number five, there is be tolerance in human life, another principle. And number six, human being means he must be able to distinguish a good and bad in his life. What is good, what is bad, we must be able to distinguish. And number seven, he must be able to control his mind. Number eight, he must be able to control his senses. And number nine, he must be free from violence. There cannot be any violence through your mind. There cannot be any violence through your speech. There cannot be any violence through your physical body. You're talking bad about somebody. You're insulting somebody by your talk. That means a virus beating your pox. And what the result, I'll tell you when you knock to the 3rd chapter. And 3 action, there's a reaction. Nobody can run away. Even you're sitting here, when the mind is belling to another thing, there's another reaction is coming into your life. Positive or negative, you will discuss when you come to the 3rd chapter. So number 9 is that the evil thing means he must be free from any kinds of violence. And number 10 is then he should not base the semen. Only for the purpose of procreation that we should enter in releasing his semen. And the 11th is that the human being man, he must do some charity for others, do good for others. And number 12, he must able to read the Vedas, the knowledge. And number 13, human being means he must be able to have a simplicity in life. A simplicity means whatever you have got in your life, be happy with that. Somebody got a big house, somebody got a small house, but whatever you have got, be happy with your life. That is simplicity. Simplicity doesn't mean you throw away your big car and big house and you go to the forest. It's not like that. What do you got, be happy? Simplicity. There's a 13th principle in human life. The 14th principle is that you must have the satisfaction of your life. Satisfy the bodiless satisfaction. And the 13th principle is that you do some service for the silly people. They are going to propagate the message of the Lord around the world. You try to assist people to fill the congregation. And then the 16th principle of living life is that don't go into the first theoretical work, just for that, for the sake of name and say. People are doing a lot of things. There are people, you know, Even the politician do it, but that at the back they bought their own book. It's written by the book too good, but no personal interest in that. Is the 16th principle of human life. And the 17th principle is that don't unnecessarily be satanic. And the 18th principle is that always try to be silent. That means when there's requirement to speak, you speak. There's no requirement, don't speak. Don't be satanic. 68th principle. The 19th principle is that we must able to distinguish between soul and body. Just that what is cow, what is driver, you must know. So that you know that, you know, when you need the, you know, the middle of the driver. Similarly, within this body, there is, you know, life, there is a soul. So you must able to distinguish what is body, what is soul. You'll be able to go to August degree. Next step, the order, the elements and the body, how the intellecting, all the desires are coming up. So the 19th principle is that a human being means he must know what is the difference between soul and body. And the 20th principle of human life is that he must give a free food distribution equally, without seeing their color, without seeing their background, that now able to give the food distribution for the benefit of everyone. Yeah? And then the 21st the principle of human life is that you must know that this divine is not a demon. We are a creation of God. You're very special. You're very divine. But sometimes people behave like they're demonia. So they do not know what is their origin, what is their nature. So here the human being means he must know I'm not a demon. So I do not act very demoniacally in the world. I'm a divine. So I must be, you know, act, you know, very pure is why people call it. 21st principle. The 22nd principle is that you must be able to come and hear some of the subject matter to uplift your consciousness. And when the 23rd principle try to say some of this principle to your friends, you probably kindly help them along for the program, and they taught you this principle, try to, you know, abide by this principle, your life will be more successful at B-School. And the 24th principle in the human life is that you must remember this principle in your life. It's not you hear and let happen everything over again. But you must remember this principle in your life. It's the 24th principle of human life. The 23rd principle of normal human life is that you must do some service for the pleasure of the Lord. 26th. The 26th is that we do some prayer for the Lord in your house, puja. And the 27th principle of human life is that you bow down in front of, you know. The 27th principle of human life is that you become a servant of God. 29th principle is that you become a friend of the Lord. And 30th principle that you are ready to get yourself out to the Supreme Lord inside. In this day, these are the 30th principle of human life for us to follow. But somewhere the most of us now will not be able to follow this principle, because they have been put into a distorted circumstances in this world. Our life is not a smooth sailing yet. We got a lot of tests and tribulation. We have got a lot of challenges in our life. Then we are drawn into a so many different kind of program of life. Then no question to follow the rule of the law. Isn't it? Then your life is danger. Then how to follow truthfulness? How to follow mercifulness? So here is where the Mahabharata is coming in. Because human life has but three kinds of challenges in their life. Three kinds of battle in their life. Mahabharata, but Krishna is bringing a great battle, and so many people died in the earthquake to many things. So the nature is bringing one kind of a problem to the human life. The nature is giving one kind of problem. And the other living entities is another kind of problem. Whether it is poor, so-called husband, or so-called the wife, or so-called children, or our neighbors or friends, or the politicians, or somebody is always giving us some problem. Or maybe it's not the human being, the dog may give you problem, the snake may give you problem. So there is another kind of problem in human life is, you know, adibhautika. There's the problems are coming from other people, not from you. One problem coming from the nature, another problem coming from the other people. Now, if there's no problem coming from the nature, no problem coming from the other people, your own body and mind gives you a lot of problems. The mind becomes very unsettled. The mind jumps like monkey everywhere. the mind causes no but wealth or problem. This one with the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Oh, your destiny is in your hand. Oh, the mind, you know, make your destiny. We will see in the sixth chapter. So now the problem coming from the nature, another problem coming from the elderly lady, and our whole body and mind also brings in different kinds of problem and our life. So our life is always a battle, is a daily battle of our life. From the very beginning, we wake up in the morning. Sometimes we set the alarm to wake up at this time, but then the alarm is ringing, then we switch off the alarm, say, maybe let me another 10 minutes, you take a sleep. And in this way, from the very beginning, you want to wake up, and already battle begin. And by the time we wake up, you see your children, another better begin. And you see your husband and wife, another better. That means, there are a lot of things to be done in our life. And we have got a two different set of mind. And to come together in a union is not very easy. You got your plan, I got my plan. About has got his plan. Which plan is going to be overall victory? And you should not be able to look into the Bhagavad Gita, the 18 chapters. So it is very human life. Is, you know, it is a place of battle. It's a battles are going on. And how to win over the battle without giving up your own dignity, without giving up the principle of the human life. As I said, there are 30 principles of human life: being truthful, being merciful, being austerity, being cleanliness, being tolerant, big distinguishing between good and bad. And this battling human life, you know, we are battling against our own family, battling again in the office with the boss, we're battling again in the street driving, they're battling against the poor agents, so many battle on the daily basis. And how to win over the battle without becoming a demonia, without becoming, you know, a terrorist, without, you know, giving up our whole principle of life, that we are still following in the principle of life. And they said that we are building over all this battle. So in this way, we do not know how to do this thing. So Krishna comes here, he is creating a Mahabharatam story, an epic of Mahabharatam. And Krishna himself is writing the story of this Mahabharata. And he brings in different kinds of character to act in the Mahabharata. He brings in the two character, he brings in the bad character, and bring them together, good and bad. And in between, Krishna stands in between them, and I will advise you which one you want to follow. The good people, they want to forget the advice, and the bad people, they want to reject the advice. In this way, somewhere or other, for the ultimate battleground of the human society, that the Krishna has created the story of Mahabharatam. And he is both the story of Mahabharatam, and there is in a different characters of good and bad to act in the Mahabharatam. And in this way, he wants to educate the human society where you are in the battlefield of life, how he should go abide by the law of Dharma, abide by the principle of human life, not neglecting anything only because of your self-interest. You want to win over the battle. The battle can be over by many means. By upapru, people say, but upapru, you can win over the battle, but that may harm to the other's life. But you know, that you live and let others to live, there's another battle to do in our life, that everybody can be happier. So in this way, Krishna creates the Mahabharata. And the Mahabharata, essence of the Mahabharata is the Bhagavad Gita, the essence. So in this way, that the Bhagavad Gita, the very important messages the Lord is bringing for the ultimate benefit of the human society. Mahatma Gandhi, he was carrying the Bhagavad Gita all the time. He was the one who got the freedom for India. And very same person that he carries the Bhagavad Gita in his hand anywhere he goes. And he speaks about Bhagavad Gita. He says, whenever a doubt hunts me in my life, whenever there are failures coming to my life, Whatever there is, there is pity I'm facing in my life. Whenever there I'm very confused about, you know, the life, he said, at that moment, I opened the Bhagavad Gita. Just by reading the one verse of Bhagavad Gita, my doubts are taken away from me. My failures are turning into a victory. And my depression, my distress are turning into a happiness of my life. And he said that the echoing moment by going through the verses of Bhagavad Gita, and every time I find new meaning in the verses of Bhagavad Gita, and it gives me so much of resignation. It gave me so much of strength in my life to fight against all the unwanted elements of my life. In this way, he said that whoever reads the Bhagavad Gita, whoever takes the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and a great faith, he said their lives will be always very successful, a very peaceful and very happy. This is the statement by Mahatma Gandhi, Bhagavad Gita. Now, as most often, there's another statement by Lord Shiva to his priest, the goddess Parvati. And Lord Shiva has recited a few different verses. And he says, Gita sa samvidam kunyam ya pari pe de kuman vishno padam avapnati vaya sukadi darjita. Lord Shiva said, whoever reads the Bhagavad Gita, they will become free from all kinds of fear in their life. The ultimate fear of the human society, that is the ultimate fear. Because everything else, that's the solution for human being. But for death, there is no solution. That's what every time people say, as sure as death. There's only one thing sure at the moment, death is very sure. And there is no solution. Even that fear comes into your life, you become fearless, Lord Shiva said, if you accept the Bhagavad Gita and the great faith, you take shelter of the Bhagavad Gita. Again, Lord Shiva says, whoever becomes serious student of Bhagavad Gita, he says that whatever problems they're going through in their life, all the problem of life is due to the previous life karma. By becoming serious student of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Shiva told Parvati that all their purva karma, all their previous life karma will be taken away from that, and they automatically attain peace and happiness at peace. And the third statement Lord Shiva made is there. He says they're cleaning this body by bathing it in normal water. And he says there's a water at a dangerous river called Bhagavad Gita. By normal water bathing to cleanse your body, but the bathing with the water of Danda of Bhagavad Gita, he says all the contamination of this material world will be cleared from it. And the fourth statement Lord Shiva made is that he said that the present moment people find it very difficult to read so many different scriptures, due to lacking of time and interest and other reasons. And Lord Shiva said, had no requirement for people to read any other scripture, any other books. Read Bhagavad Gita alone is enough for them. And whatever benefit they can get from reading from any other thing, totally they will get it from Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. And the fifth statement Lord Shiva made is that in India there is a Ganges River, the holy river is flowing. Whoever paint the water of Ganges River, whoever bathed in the Ganga River, he says automatically all the sins are clear from that. Because the Ganga River is emanating from the Lord's feet of the Lord. Similarly, the Bhagavad Gita is emanating from the mouth of the Supreme Lord. And whoever read the Bhagavad Gita, bathed in the Ganga water of the Bhagavad Gita, say they will gain all the benefit of bathing in the Ganga water. And sixth statement Lord Shiva made is that of all the Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita is the conclusion, is the essence of all the Upanishad. Bhagavad Gita is like a cow, and Krishna is like a cow boy. He's milking the cow of Bhagavad Gita and giving the milk to the devotees elegant to be happy in their life. Finally, Lord Shiva made a final statement to Parvati. He said, in Kalpaka, make the world, people would like to have only one scripture, and they will book the Bhagavad Gita. People will only like your born word, they will go to Krishna. And people who left one service, they will find the service to be Lord. And he said that there finally people in the world will look for only one mantra which solve all the problem of right. He said that the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He said that in this way, the benefits of reading of Bhagavad Gita, one will get, you know, so without any, you know, fail, without, you know, confusing of anybody around, they should come into understanding the Bhagavad Gita, which would be the ultimate solution for every of all problem of life, because a minimal good for a humankind. So Lord, you're doing that to the Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata. How the story of Mahabharata emanated 5,000 years ago. 5,000 years ago, there's a need for the Supreme of Krishna to appear in the world. Because the Lord says, whenever there is a decline in the principle of Dharma, whenever there is a decline in the principle of human value, very important. Today, human beings are there. So many activities are there, but all are minus value. Even in everything, it will be very big, big philosophy, you know, but everything is minus value. There is no value. So Krishna says, whenever there are minus value in the life of human being, the Lord comes to the world. He comes as Buddha, you know, he comes as Jesus, becomes in a different form, somewhere or other to divide the principle of human life so that they can release with a great value, which will ultimately really make them peace and happy of their life. So 5,000 years ago, the India is known as the Palab Bhumi, Palab Darsha. 5,000 years ago, there is no Malaysia. There is not even Circum Malaysia. There is no Malaysia, there's called Singapore, there is no Australia, New Zealand, Switzerland, or Africa, there is no Myanmar, Thailand, to anything. 5,000 years ago, the whole world is known as the Bharat Varsha. There's only one kingdom, one team, and one rule, one head of flag. Then those Parnaudes is called India. Mahabharat means Great India. So 5,000 years ago, India is known as the Bharat Varsha, because it's been ruled by a king called Bharat. And from his descendant comes the Santan of the king. And he married to a Ganda Devi. And there was a child born by the name of Dhruvrata. Later on, he became known as a Bhishma Desh. And after the disappearance of Dalda from the life of Santana, Santana married to another lady by the name of Satyavati. And from that marriage, he had two sons. One is called Chitangada, another one is called Vichitrabirya. And they married to Amba and Antika and Ambalika. There were three girls being brought. Of course, Amba already had, you know, Gismade brought these three girls. But Amba says she already in love with another man, so she been let go. And the other two girls, you know, Antika and Ambalika, they married to Chitrangada and Vichitrabirya. And somewhere this Chitrabirya and Chitrangada, they died in the very early age of their lives without, you know, having any sons for them. So in this way, you know, the kingdom is ending without any, you know, followers who can become the king. And they come, Satyavati, she already from the previous, you know, union with Parasara Muni, she has had the son by the name of Vyasade. So she, you know, called Vyasade to come and give a child through these two girls, Ambalika and Ambiga. So now from this, you know, two union, yesterday with the union, the two girls, Dhritarashtra was born blind, and Pandu, another person, was born in Asta Dhritarashtra, and there was another child born with Devi Jasadev, and the maid servant of the palace is known as Bidura. Now the kingdom has got somebody to become a dulan. But now the dulan means the eldest son should become the dulan, but the eldest son here, Dhritarashtra, is blind. So he is not eligible to become a dulan. So that was given to Pandu. So Pandu was doing everything very nice, but one time he went to the forest with his two wives, Madri and Pundi, and somewhere at the, he killed a deer. That deer, the male and female deer, actually they were great sailor people. They took the form of a deer, they came together for a union. And somewhere at the Pandu was not known that Actually, they're not ordinary deer, they're Senyi people. But, you know, he shot this arrow and then they killed the deer. When the deer was dying, the deer, you know, he...